The vision of the first century church. The vision of the first century church. As we continue in our lessons of the first century church, we go over the vision. Truly, as we read the book of Acts, we see that those Christians were serious about their Christianity. They were serious about their faith. It wasn't a easy thing in their lives that didn't take up much of their time, but they were serious about it. We've spent much time over these last two series, or throughout these last two series, in the book of Acts, and seeing what these first century Christians did, the commandments that God gave to them and then on to us. Because, of course, the Great Commission, he didn't write it to you and I initially, did he? He wrote it to those folks, and then it was passed to you and I. Let's go to our questions. Pull your questions out, if you would, please. First question, Acts 26:19. Paul testified that he was not disobedient unto, ma'am, unto the heavenly vision. Okay, excellent. Paul here, before Agrippa. Okay, Tuesday, Isaiah 6:1-8. Compare verses 1 and 8. How does Isaiah's vision of God, how was Isaiah's vision of God connected to his surrender to God? Kelly Dye. Amen. Amen. Here am I. Send me. I'll go. Why? Because he saw who God was. He saw who God was. Proverbs 29:18. We learn that a lack of vision results in the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Acts 26:19-22. What action did Paul take after he received the heavenly vision? What action did Paul take after he... Ma'am? Okay. He showed first at Damascus, Jerusalem, Judea, to the Gentiles that they should repent and that they should turn to God. Amen. Witnessing. Paul was to then witness that to many peoples and before kings. And he was told that at that time, that this conversion of yours, you're going to stand before kings with this message. And he did boldly. He stood before kings boldly. Friday, Acts 26:21, describe the opposition Paul faced as he obeyed the Lord, and then how did he endure such treatment? The opposition first. They grabbed him, and they're going to kill him. That's right. And then how did he endure the treatment? Amen. Verse 22. Help from God. His help from God, verse 22. And then Nehemiah. What a book. That book was a blessing. If you're doing the Bible reading that Pastor challenged a couple months back, you went through Nehemiah last week. Man alive. Somebody with a heart to obey God. What did Nehemiah not tell to any man? Go ahead. For the building, that's right. He didn't share it with others. He snuck in. I think he was in there at night, wasn't he, by himself, going around and looking at it. He didn't tell anybody. A vision. The vision of the first century church. Becoming a first century church should be the goal of every church. As we look at the vision of the first century church, we learn that out of our vision, everything else will come. If our vision of God is not right, then nothing else will be right. When we see the Lord for who He truly is, we will take action in obedience to His command. And we'll trust Him, and He'll provide for us all along our journey. In our lesson today, we want to look at a few things. We want to look and learn that the vision of the first century church, the vision that we want for this church, the vision that God has for this church was not about, it's not about things. It's about God and His mission in the world. Then to realize that the clearer our vision of God is, the clearer everything else in our life will be. We know who God is, we're certainly a lot further along when He speaks to us than those that don't know Him, that don't speak with Him when they get up in the morning, that don't read His instruction booklet. And then to understand that our vision of God determines everything we do and also determines the way in which we attempt to accomplish things. Then to know that when we see God for who He truly is, it creates an accountability from us to Him. And then to show that a vision of God demands action and requires faith. Memory verse this morning, Acts 26:19. I'd like somebody to say that. Mrs. Raver? Yes, ma'am. Kelly Dye. Okay. Paul here standing before King Agrippa and a host of other royalty and proclaimed the vision that day on the Damascus Road. And he said, I was not disobedient to the vision. I have been about my life preaching the gospel. The book of Acts, dealing with the ongoing work of Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 26, follow along. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am a judge for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, under which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up into prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and be exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and were about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other thing than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should raise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for the thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. In our lessons, the book of Acts provides a true record of the first century church. In this 26th chapter, we have found the Apostle Paul giving his testimony in great detail before King Agrippa. It says here, give special attention to the expression that Paul declared to the king, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Paul hinges all his behavior on this heavenly vision. What tremendous insight we find here concerning the first century church. We think of vision. Many verses might come to mind. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Vision, what is vision? Vision means revelation. It is how God reveals himself to us. God gives us a vision. Many times it's in the form of, actually all the time, it's in the form of a word from his scriptures or through the Holy Spirit. That's where we get our vision from. We don't get it after we eat pizza at night and go to bed and have some mixed up dream about what we did that day. It doesn't come to us at night. It comes to us from God's Word. Our vision comes from God's Word. As we look at the vision of the first century church, we learn that out of our vision, everything else comes. If our vision of God is not right, then nothing else is right. Is God our buddy? Is he our brother? Yes, actually he is, but it's more than that. It's more than that. Paul, standing here this day, had much religion in his life. Ever since his youth, as you read Acts of chapter 9 and him giving that account, ever since his youth, he was a very religious man. And in fact, that's why he persecuted Christians so much, because it was a religious thing to do. Religion is not the answer. Religion is not the answer. Man's religion has failed for centuries and will continue to fail. Religion is not the answer. How great is our God? How great is our God? What vision do you have of him? The reason the first century church was able to accomplish all that they accomplished was because of the vision that they had for God, the guidance, the direction that God had given them. We talked about the book of Nehemiah and going through that in our daily reading. And you see there, they brought out the word, and the people stood there, and they read it, and they just kept standing there. And God's word was read before them, and they loved it. They loved God's word. This is our instruction booklet. This is our vision of what God has for us to do. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. It's gone. Somebody tell me the first verse. Sam? Who knows the first verse of that? Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. High and lifted up. He saw God for who God was. He was a holy God. He was a mighty God. The vision created accountability. You and I are accountable before God's word. You and I are accountable before the Holy Spirit. The vision creates accountability. If we have a vision of the first century church, certain things will characterize that vision and will be true of us. We must see God for who he truly is. He's the Creator God who spoke the world into existence. When we see the Lord as Paul saw the Lord, high and lifted up, it creates an accountability in our lives to God and to God alone. David in Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I done this evil. He had done it in front of nobody else because nobody else is worthy. Nobody else is worthy. God is worthy. God is holy. The vision of God is for all those who know the Lord. It brings us to one great purpose, his purpose. It is a matter of each individual believer asking God and seeking God, praying and desiring to know God through his word. His purpose. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Of his good pleasure. My life, your life, we don't write the blueprint for what we're going to do. Well, many times we do. I don't know about you. I will. I'll write mine. Lord, I got a good idea. But the Lord has a plan for you and I. We need to honor him. We answer to God, and God alone. He alone is worthy. Because of their vision, those first century Christians could not be stopped. Their vision was not about things. It was about being captured by God and his mission to the world. Philippians 3, chapter 12, Paul talks there about being captured. Turn with me, Philippians chapter 3, read verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Paul sought after Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had already sought after Paul. Paul had already been apprehended. Then he goes into verse 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. He still pressed forward. This vision created an accountability. Paul was accountable before God. He was saved that day on the road to Damascus. He saw great and mighty works done. His own vision being gone and then going to the city and his vision being returned to him and then getting his marching orders for what he was going to do. What kind of marching orders were those? You're going to stand before people. You're going to be put through this. But he got them, and he served our God faithfully. Our vision of God demands action from you and I. It demands action each day. Notice what Paul said in Acts 26, 19 and 20. When he met the Lord, there was something that he had to do. Immediately, Paul began to speak to people about the message that God had given him. Go and preach. And that's what Paul did with his whole life after that. When a man is following the Lord, he wants people to know the same Lord he is following. God is our goal. God is our goal. Obeying his will is the task that lay before us. When we see the Lord high, exalted, and lifted up, we must do what God has given us to do. It is our work to get the gospel out. God is the goal. The task is not the goal. The task comes from our desire to please God and obey him. If I am not a witness, it is not because I have lost my concern for others. It is because I have lost my vision of God and of what God is doing in this world. What God is doing. If I am not a witness, it's not because I don't love people. I care about people. You care about people. But yet sometimes we don't tell them. Maybe we don't understand the vision quite clearly enough. Maybe we've lost that direction of the same message that was given to Paul. Go out and preach. Go out and tell them. Go out and persuade them. Then we must get that vision of God clear again in our lives. Paul followed the Lord's methods and trained others. He did exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did on this earth, of seeking after those who were lost and bringing them to Christ. We must have a first century vision. We must see clearly who God is. That vision is a vision of God, a vision that demands action. Attempting things for God is where action has been demanded. Expecting great things from God, as the missionary William Carey said, is where faith is required. Attempting great things for God is where action has been demanded. Expecting great things from God, as the missionary William Carey said, is where faith is required. This vision is required faith. God has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. This action requires faith because we attempt what we cannot possibly get done in the energy of our flesh. It also requires faith because of the opposition it brings. Mrs. Rayburn, I think I need to eat lemons on Sunday morning or something. I got to find out from Pastor how he keeps this out. This is what Paul said is testifying. Thank you, brother. As soon as I did what God told me to do, the Jews sought to kill me. Hey, what a message. Go out and preach. Sam, go out and preach and they're going to want to kill you. Hello? Sign me up for that. Man alive, it doesn't sound like the best plan, does it? God's got a plan. And we need to walk before Him daily and see the plan that He has. What has God given us to do? Knowing this will keep us strong in the midst of battle. We must know that we are being obedient to what God has assigned us to do. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Thank you, Brother Terry. The God of the first century church is the same God we serve today. Did God change? Has the God of that church any different than the God of this church? No, God hasn't changed. Has His will changed? It hasn't changed. His will is still what it was to Paul. Paul, I've saved you for a purpose, and that purpose is to take the gospel message to lost man. The God of the first century church is the same God He is today. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, and I change not. Amen. He's still the same God. The power that was at the access of those early Christians is at your and my access. And if you've not seen it, you take 10 minutes every morning this week and spend them in prayer. In 10 minutes reading God's Word, and more than that if you can. But I'm saying if it's not in your habit to do that, you do that. And you watch and see what God might not do. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. See what God won't do with you if you pray and if you read God's Word and if you seek the vision for what He would have you to do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You're so good and so gracious to us. Lord, might we understand Your vision for us. It's not about things, it's about You. It's about honoring You in our lives. It's about honoring You with our substance, with our times, our tithes, our talents. Lord, help us to understand. Lord, as Paul was given this vision and stood before kings, Lord, help us to not be timid. Help us to understand that You are God and that You have a plan for mankind and that we are part of that plan. Lord, we thank You for Your love, Your grace, Your mercy. Lord, as we see You, we see You in creation. We can show You to lost mankind in creation. You're a mighty God. Lord, might we proclaim You before a lost and dying world. Might we walk this week on our knees first before we walk on our feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.